Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. This show is brought to you by Dr. Elsie's, where they speak for cats, which is what this program is all about. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is made possible with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food called Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I personally can recommend because it is based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Please show your appreciation that Dr. Elsie's underwrites this show by choosing their products whenever you can. Finally, somebody has figured out a way to clean your cat's teeth without you trying to do something utterly impossible, irritating your cat, and probably never even getting the job accomplished. There's a quite extraordinary product called Teef, which is quite funny because it's spelled T-E-E-F, like teef, like a little kid would say teef if they had a lisp. And a microbiologist called Emily Stein invented it. And I remember seeing her win this big fat Purina Innovation Prize, I want to say 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago at the big pet conference. And I don't think anybody at the time, Emily, was thinking cats have the worst gum and teeth problems of anybody in the pet world. And nobody's really thinking about that. We were all thinking dog. And now you've won another award or two or 10. At some point, did you realize that cats needed your wonderful drinkable teeth cleaner more than anybody else?
Yeah, and they've been suffering silently.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, 92% of cats, middle-aged cats, have some sort of gum disease.
And that's really a quite shocking number, because if you think of gum disease meaning periodontal problems, that the gums are irritated, inflamed, possibly infected, maybe the teeth are making the gums be so miserable. But any of us that has anything go wrong in our mouth, it very quickly announces itself in the form of pain. It hurts to swallow. It hurts to chew. It hurts to just be alive when your mouth hurts. And nobody ever looks in their cat's mouth because cats don't want you to do that, period. There's very few cats that want you to pry open their mouth and look. And anyway, we're not really trained, we owners, to know what that looks like. But we pretty much do know these cats have a lot of dental issues. So how does Teef address that?
Yeah, well, all of our research has shown that there's this huge population of microbes that live in a cat's mouth. And a lot of it is fungus. And
really?
That's what we've been finding.
The
and
fungus
then also,
among us. No kidding.
Fungus among us. Yeah. Some of them are probably fun guys. No, just teasing. Bad joke. Microbiology joke.
I was going to say, you microbiologists probably have so much fun thinking about bacteria, fungi. Probably
yeah,
rings your
nerd.
Bell.
Mm-hmm. No, but there's a lot of anaerobes also in the mouth, particularly below the gum line in cats, that are causing massive problems and inflammation, and they're upsetting the immune system and the tissue in the cat's mouth, which can cause even things as scary as stomatitis, which is this cancer-like outgrowth of the gingiva, which is really painful for cats. So what Teef does is basically puts everybody on this strict diet. Cats shouldn't be eating carbohydrate anyway in their diet, and we're finding it's coming into their diet through various different, you know, treats and things like that. And so what Teef is doing is putting all of the microbes on a sugar starvation program and then ramping up the ability of microbes to start to break down protein. Because actually the byproducts of that, when microbes eat a keto diet in the mouth, the byproducts are actually super healthy for the cat and protective for the cat. And so by doing that, we're changing not only what the microbes are eating, but we're also changing what the microbes are secreting. And that winds up changing who's living in the mouth. And so we're seeing over time when cats are either licking teeth on out of your hand or in drinking it in the water bowl or they're eating it on their food, it's having a dramatic impact on you know, these microbes that are really causing problems, and it's transitioning them into a beneficial, helpful population that's better for cats' overall health.
This is really music to my ears because you and I, as with all my guests, don't have a pre-conversation. I'm learning what you have to say as you're saying it. And I think you probably know, people in the pet industry know, that I call all dry food for cats kitty crack. And I don't mean to make anybody laugh and think it's funny. Crack is addictive and deadly to humans. And that's why I call it kitty crack, because highly processed carbs are addictive, unhealthy, and often deadly to cats because of the diseases that it causes. I didn't realize. I know that digestion starts in the mouth, but it didn't occur to me that because they're obligate carnivores, they must be on an all-protein diet, that while the carbs, once they get into their system, cannot be properly digested, turn to fat, cause a lot of systemic problems for cats. Just proven science. It's awesome to have a biologist say, yeah, it starts in the mouth, honey, and it's ugly. And what those carbs do is let terrible things happen that are invisible to us and painful to the cat. And this whole issue, Emily, of the gut biome, there have been some studies recently done about cats. I haven't had the scientists on yet, about how putting carbs into a cat changes the gut biome. And most of us go, yeah, I think I kind of know what that is. But we do know that the intestinal tract is the most important part of wellness and health, immune system. So can you talk about this, these fungi and bacteria that thrive on sugar? Maybe the people that didn't believe me about kitty crack, or they're like, oh, I'll just feed a little, like a little's bad, any is bad. It's really bad for them. They really need protein. So, and of course, I will say that cats as they age, just as humans as they age, still get dental disease and still can have gum problems. So even if you're the best protein feeder of your cat, the idea of that there's a neutral product that can neutralize the bad stuff in the mouth still has value. But if you could just talk for a minute about the harm that goes from the mouth all the way through their body. And how teeth, if you insist on feeding dry food or you don't have a choice for whatever the reason, that this can neutralize it.
Absolutely. So what we're finding is the second largest population of microbes in the GI tract actually is in the mouth. And fastest absorption, even faster than gut, is sublingual, below the tongue. And the tongue in cats have even these cool little appendages that look like tiny hairs, but they're not. They're actually like, and those are super, they're built for rapid absorption. So, and then there's a team of microbes that are kind of housed there. And so what we're finding is that even a small amount of carbohydrate given every day or every other day shifts who lives in the mouth and who lives in the gut.
Wow.
And yeah, and they're the ones that are consuming the carbohydrate, spewing out tons of acids that are really upsetting the immune system, but also gut function. So like it makes the gums in the mouth super leaky if there's a lot of acid present, which allows the microbes then to go inside and invade the cat and go elsewhere, likely the kidney, which is why if cats have gingivitis or gum issues, they wind up usually with chronic kidney disease. And chronic kidney disease, as we know, my 19-year-old cat passed away from CKD a couple of years ago, and poor guy couldn't get a dental clean. And this is before I invented teeth, but he couldn't get a dental cleaning because he was so poorly reactive to anesthesia. So the poor little guy didn't get a whole, you know, he got one in his whole life, 19 years old, but it was the CKD that took him out, you know? But that's the story of so many cats these days, is these microbes don't just stay in the mouth and they don't just stay in the gut. They are very harmful, and carbohydrates feed them.
You know, I think people understand vaguely because of keto diets in the humans, which is a trendy thing. I want to remind all of you that Dr. Ryan Yamko, who's been on the show, made it very clear that dogs can never become ketogenic. There's no such thing as a keto diet for a dog. You can't get a dog into ketogenesis, but a cat lives there. That's where they should live. That is their healthy place, is to constantly get only protein that they quickly digest, absorb, and, you know, and these bad things don't happen. I want to go back to what you said about the barbs on their tongue, which is really interesting about where these bacteria can linger and hide. Because I think we all know that one of the kind of spooky dangers with a cat is to not leave a needle with thread on it, or yarn, or string, or anything like it available to a cat, because the barbs only go one direction. So even though cats do throw up hairballs or sometimes food if they're not well, once something goes in that direction, it sort of, it's almost like a river that only goes downstream. Those barbs are unique to cats, I think, or to any feline creature. What is it that happens underneath the barbs and underneath the tongue? It's like a little place where fungus and bacteria can breed.
Oh yeah, they're setting up their little houses, and they form these things called biofilms that coat every single square millimeter of surface area. So every single one of those little barbs has an entire ecosystem of microbes living on it and underneath it. And that's actually where the salivary, you know, saliva kind of collects underneath there. So it's a breeding ground for microbes. And absorption occurs all over the tongue, both on the top and the bottom. So that's why, like in humans, you know, one of the, like if you have angina, one of the fastest, you know, medicines we know of is administered sublingually. That's how quickly we absorb things through the tongue. Yeah.
And that's why they say if you're on the ambulance and it's a suspected heart attack, we would give you baby aspirin to chew because it's taken in more quickly that way. But
exactly.
By the same token, what about the issue of people with heart problems needing to take antibiotics before they even have a teeth cleaning? Is this relevant? I understand we're talking different species, but as a biochemist, that's not exactly what you are, right? You're a bio something.
I've definitely taken a lot of biochemistry.
Yeah, you've taken a lot of it. Whatever it is, you really understand this. You've seen all this chaos going on under the microscope.
Right.
Is this so that people can relate to these things? You know, we're all so egocentric and species-centric. They always want you to take antibiotics if you're going to the dentist for almost anything. If you have a heart condition, can you talk about how that relates to this?
Sure. So dental cleanings are the number one most dangerous preventative procedure in medicine.
Wow. It
doesn't matter if you're a dog, a cat, a human, or a horse. It's because their mouth is so chock full of microbes. There are, every time you swallow several million microbes that make it through the GI tract and start to influence the downstream gut process. So that's why who lives in the mouth is so important, because not only is it driving either the health and well-being or disease of the animal, but it's also seeding the downstream and influencing downstream gut populations as well. So what I can definitively say is that every time there's a dental cleaning and they're really digging in there and cleaning things out, they are causing temporary wounding of the tissue, which allows microbes to get into the bloodstream. And so that's why we have transient bacteremia after a dental cleaning. And so that's why if you have, you know, there are dogs now getting artificial joints and things like that, they need to be put on prophylactic antibiotics before a dental cleaning. Because what we know from human examples are that if there's like heart valves or artificial joints, in an individual, or an individual susceptible to clotting, which is like what my grandmother had, which is why she threw a clot and had a stroke after a tooth got pulled.
Wow.
Because, yeah, it's very common, surprisingly. Yeah, the newest retrospective analysis is showing that there is a 50% increased risk of a heart attack or a stroke after a tooth gets pulled or a dental implant gets placed. And the reason for that is there's a massive wound in the gum tissue. Tons of microbes are going in. And because of the way our bloodstream works, and animals too, one big blood vessel in the neck goes to the brain, the other one goes to the heart. And so for my grandmother's case, the microbes went to her brain and she threw a clot and had a massive stroke. But for other people, it's a heart attack. And that risk lasts 4 weeks after the procedure.
My goodness.
Yeah. So there's got to be similar risk profiles in other animals getting major dental procedures like tooth extractions, which, as you know, that's the most common treatment in dogs and cats.
That's right.
Their tooth
pull
extracted.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a risk for other systemic problems to go on after. So everybody needs to be mindful of just that risk.
Whoa. I just had an implant. Thank God it was more than 4 weeks ago, so I'm out of the woods, I
hope.
Yeah,
you're out of the woods.
But they don't routinely give antibiotics, and it's a really good point. You're drilling into bones and you're cutting the flesh. It's interesting how many people are very fearful of getting a dental cleaning for their dog or cat. And most people I don't know statistics because I'm not the numbers girl, but I don't think a lot of people do it for their cats, which is why I think that what Teeth can offer of keeping the mouth clean and then therefore the whole downstream, as you put it, cleaner, is really important. But I've always said to people, and I believe it to be medically correct, that if your dog shows any signs of dental disease, like periodontal disease, inflamed gums, obviously a cracked tooth has to be dealt with, or any yep. other thing that's teeth or gums, which are two separate elements, that a dental cleaning is safe, I've said, in terms of the anesthesia. Because people think their animal, especially middle-aged or senior, might die of anesthesia. I don't think that is the risk, but you're talking about a risk that the veterinarians may not be as hyper aware of, and I certainly have not been. It would be better to prevent than have to deal with an invasive procedure, which a dental cleaning is invasive. I mean, I guess that's why Teeth is winning so many awards. I didn't really understand why, I'll be totally honest. I saw you give your presentation. There's always three or four disparate kinds of inventions for pets in general. Sometimes it's software. Sometimes it's something that you could eat or drink or various other products. And you won that year, and you've won another one, which you can brag about in a minute. And I didn't understand why it was so critical, except for that now you're telling me that the cat's mouth is a hotbed of bacteria and fungus. And that's even if you're not feeding kitty crack. So the dog's mouth, God knows what goes in the dog's mouth, right? Besides whatever the nicest food is you can give. I mean, I see things go down the hatch with my girls. I'm like, how much deer poop can one person need to eat? Not to mention the mole that you just caught and you ate it. So I don't know how many things go along with that ingestion, but it can't be great. And I try to keep the occasional deer leg that some hunter has left in some field out of their mouth. I'm thinking, yeah, we don't have mouthwash for dogs and cats, but this isn't really mouthwash, Teeth. It's not to give them, quote unquote, fresh breath in a minty kind of way. It's actually neutralizing harmful bacteria in their mouth, right?
Absolutely. That's the main purpose. And when you're thinking about what's in a cat's mouth is basically everything in your house, because they're walking around constantly, laying around, getting dust bunnies on them, and then they lick themselves, right?
Right.
So all of those fungal spores, all of those microbes from the environment that they're living in is in their mouth. And then the mouth is a huge incubator because it's warm and moist and, you know, and there's nutrients circulating in the saliva constantly. And so it's just a breeding ground for really harmful microbes. And what we know is once you start to lose your health, whether you're a dog, a cat, a mouse, you know, a human, you can't really get dental health back.
Interesting.
So the goal for us is to really, you know, on a daily basis, fight that battle and clean that mouth up every single day, because it is a daily fight.
Now, you mentioned something. I'm kind of thrifty. I don't know why. I'm probably pound wise and penny foolish, or the other way around, I believe. But I always thought, well, if I have to put this water that costs money in the bowls for the dogs, and I empty and refill both bowls twice a day, they're big drinkers. And as I say, they're outside coming in and drinking and dropping a lot of debris in the water. And one of them is very picky. She doesn't want the water unless it's purely clean. And the other dog hasn't drunk from it because the other dog's saliva apparently is gross to her, but the deer poop isn't. These are conversations. I don't know how to have these with Maisie, but it's true. She'll go over and she'll start to drink. She'll go, ah, no. Wanda already drank from there. So I'm thinking, well, this is sort of wasteful. If I put in this pricey stuff and they only drink half the bowl, and then I dump it and I put fresh one, have to put some more in. But then it becomes like I feel wasteful. But you're saying you can put this on their food. Is that a new version of Teef?
We're learning more and more about how to use it. For instance, what my favorite way of getting it in my dog quickly after I, you know, send him to, let's say I have to go travel for work and I have to board him, he comes back and, of course, you know, he's been drinking water that every other dog at that boarding facility was drinking. And so I need to catch him up. So one of the ways I catch him up quickly is I'll just put a tiny, like a quarter of a scoop of powder on a lick pad with a tiny bit of peanut butter and just have him scrape his tongue with it. Because again, the tongue is a big reservoir. Another thing you can do for avid drinkers is to take a scoop in a pitcher of water and then just, you know, administer it throughout the day. Just put the pitcher in the fridge because there are no preservatives, which is really important because preservatives kill good bacteria. So that's why we have it in a powder format, in a non-liquid form, so that we don't have to deal with preservatives. And you just top it off, or you can rinse it out. The key thing that we're also learning for preserving dental health in cats and in dogs is to just wash the water bowl and the food dish every day to every other day with soap and water.
Don't just rinse it. Use soap and water.
Don't just rinse it. Yep. Oy. Get rid of that biofilm in the
interesting.
In the dishes.
Mm-hmm. So Teef is made of good bacteria. It's like a jar of good bacteria.
Actually, Teef is made of products that good bacteria made. That feed good bacteria. So it's called a postbiotic and prebiotic. So we don't have any active living organisms in Teef. It's just prebiotics to feed the good and a postbiotic made by soil bacteria that universally starves all microbes from eating carbohydrate.
So you've obviously worked on it for years. I mean, the invention of it, the ideology behind it was new. And then you had to create it, and then you had to make sure it worked. And then you had to do tests on various dogs and cats' mouths to see how they were before and after. And would you assume that a dog or a cat with, let's say, inflamed gums, not like raging periodontal disease, but not great gums, you know, the vet goes, maybe next time we'll do a dental, that if they were to use it regularly, you would see that reverse itself?
Yeah, we've mild to moderate gingivitis and periodontal disease, you can actually reverse. And we've done a greyhound study, and those
the worst
really
teeth, poor babies, the
yeah,
worst.
Yeah, I know. But we did severe, so it was the last stage perio where, you know, a couple of the teeth were going to have to get yanked. And even then we were able to show a shift in who's living in the mouth towards a healthier mouth and reduction in gingival in gum inflammation, which is a big deal because inflammation kills, right?
So absolutely.
And dogs and cats can lose about a third of their lifespan if they have this silent inflammatory process going on in their mouth.
Which then, of course, goes throughout their body. So I guess that definitely the Greyhound rescue groups, which are so fabulous, they need to embrace Teef and hope that the adopters use it. For the cats, with just a minute or two left, do the brachycephalic cats, the flat-faced Persians and other breeds like that, do they have more dental problems or they just have breathing problems? Or you may not know the answer to that. I'm just asking, wondering if there's some cats more susceptible.
Yeah, so both the dogs and the cats that are brachycephalic have more postnasal drip, and they do have a ton more microbe in their mouth compared to like a Great Dane, for instance, will have less microbe in their mouth than like a pug.
Right.
And the same is true with cats. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Well, I love that I can be a little bit of a Sherlock Holmes, too, if I'm faced with that, because the flat-faced breeds of dogs and cats both have challenges with eating and challenges with things to do with their face and their mouth and their nose. So, yeah, you with flat-faced animals need to teef it up more than the rest of us. But I'm sort of curious, but we've run out of time. I know this is made for pets, and that's how it's made and got its okie dokie from whoever gives the okie dokies. But in theory, people could use it too, or we aren't allowed to even ask that.
Oh no, it's human grade. We've done clinical studies with it in Alzheimer's patients. You can drink it too. I drink it all the time.
Oh my God, I'm going to start. I hope I don't have to have any more implants, but no one's cleaning my teeth again without teeth. That's for sure. Wow. So much to be learned about what's happening invisibly all around us. Emily Stein, congratulations on a continued success and the good you're doing for a lot of creatures' mouths all around the country. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. I also want to thank Wonderside, founded by a woman entrepreneur who discovered effective natural ways to repel fleas, ticks, and other pests on her pets and around her home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without the harsh chemicals that can be harmful to your cats, your property, and the planet. This show is also supported by the privately developed Magic Fabric Pet Throws that trap hair, dirt, and moisture when cats get up on the furniture, bed, or your lap. Magic Fabric Pet Throws invite kitty cuddle time without sacrificing your clothes or furniture. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's again for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people.